In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And so sin entered our world. How many of you have split logs for firewood? Okay. I have not. But I'm intrigued by those who do. My oldest son, who lives on a 5-acre plot near Sacramento, regularly splits wood for his wood-burning stove. He explains the process this way. He upends logs of a right length, sets them on the ground, or better yet, on top of a tree stump. Then he takes a steel wedge, and with a sledgehammer held in one hand, he taps it carefully into the grain end of the log, and then steps back and takes a full swing at the wedge. And then, if his eye is good, he hits the wedge with a deep clang of metal on metal, and the two halves of the logs go flying apart. If he's really good, the wedge is left sticking in the stump. My son describes it this way: it's a real workout. Splitting wood is a powerful image of forcibly dividing something that is normally inseparable, something that is made to be together. There are wedges in every human life and every human relationship that split them and drive them apart. There are wedges between us as human beings and the God who made us. There are wedges driven deeply between us and other people, even people who love each other. And there are wedges, God help us, that are driven hard into our heads and our lives, which separate us in some strange way from ourselves. Yes, we see wedges in the wounds that we deal each other, and in the little tiffs that flare up between us, and the little insecurities that come out of us in cutting comments that we make to one another as friends, classmates, colleagues, co-workers, spouses, and so on. Those wedges take on various forms and at one level have various names: anger, hatred, bigotry, jealousy, envy, injustice. You add in the words that describe here how this is acted out even on this campus or the church at large. And what an emotional workout they bring to our lives. I could go on and on with the list. The issue is separation, division, the feelings and the attitudes that force people apart from the love that God would have from us. But at the root of it all, there is only one name for all the various wedges that force us apart, and that is sin. That's what the story in Genesis chapter 3 is all about. There's a charming innocence about that story, though, that almost a childlike wonder to it that belies the profound truths that are so much a part of it. And yet in its simple narrative, the story describes something deep and basic about human beings. God made man from the dust of the earth and planted a garden with trees for food, as well as two special trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God puts man in the garden to care for it with only one restriction: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is off limits. Touch it and die, says God. In the meanwhile, God provides a helper, a wife for Adam. The scene next switches to the serpent. The serpent is much like the adversary in Job. His job was to ask questions, to raise issues. Yet his question in our text was not an innocent one. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say that you should not eat of any tree in the garden?" And Eve's response? She said to the serpent, "We may eat of the tree, of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" As you know, after some dialogue with Satan, Eve is convinced that eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would not cause death. So she ate, and she gave some to Adam. He also ate. So what happened next? Their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. And God, he went looking for Adam and Eve to give them an out for their sin? No. Nor does he show them what they must do to get out of their mess. Just as today, God does not pretend that we on our own can eliminate the wedges, the sin in our lives. No, our God wants us to see the Savior who gets rid of those wedges that keep us apart from one another and also other people. So, this season of Lent, then, is the time that we set aside in the church here to take a good hard look at the things that divide, the things that force us apart or force us away from those whom we love. It's a season to understand our brokenness, our need. But most of all, it's a time to focus our attention on the Christ who gives life. The sin of Adam and Eve was not just that they ate the wrong tree from the wrong tree, but they refused the tree that could have offered life. What are you and I doing with the cross, the tree of life on which Christ guarantees us life? Is it central to all of our living? The good news is that in Jesus Christ, the wedges driven into life don't mean the end for us. The promise is that our sins will be forgiven. The promise is that the slate will be wiped clean and all will be well between us and God and one another. The promise is that God offers to take charge of our lives again. Yes, we who have taken life out of his hands can give it back to him again. Then it is he gives us not only the strength and the power to face sin's temptations in the future, but also the promise that our lives are in his hands and we will live with him forever. Wedges? They're gone as Christ's love, his death and resurrection unites us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.